I love preaching on Mother's Day. I think of myself, I hope my family thinks of me as a good mother. Now, I could ask one of my daughters and she might say no. But I think I've raised my girls pretty good. At least I've tried. I put out a trying. And I think the best mother in here, and I told her this morning, is Joan Culp. She is absolute the best mother. She is a loving mother, very loving mother. And so we love you, Joan. But today, I wanted to say something before I got started on my message. That lady that has her baby back from death to life, isn't that the most awesome story? And what a Mother's Day they're having today. Can you think of, oh my gosh, the rejoicing that's going on in that mother. And I just think, oh my gosh, what a wonderful, wonderful day they're having as the mother of that child. That is just an awesome story. So, today I'm going to talk about, and I hope my glasses don't bother you, but I have to wear them. It's my age. today I'm going to talk to you about hearing. And mothers are very good at hearing. Mothers can hear the sound of their baby even when they're sound asleep. The mother is sound asleep. They can automatically, they just wake up, they hear the sound of their child crying. I've seen this play out here at church a lot of times. When lots of kids are back in the nursery and one child will be screaming or crying, and all of a sudden that mother's ears just go, huh? And they know the sound of their child's cries. They recognize their child's cry. And God our Father, He recognizes our voice. When we cry out to Him, He recognizes our voice. Just like that mother, she goes running to the nursery when she sees, I don't think I need those. When she sees what's wrong with her baby, she hears. And she goes running to her baby. And God comes running to us when He hears the sound of our voice. God hears us. Also, babies hear their mother's voice and recognize it even before they're born. They hear the sound of their mother's voice. And when they're born, they know their mother's voice. They respond to her. They respond to her voice more than anyone else in the family. That's the way God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to respond, to hear Him, to know Him, and to respond to His voice. As parents, it's very, very important that our children hear us and obey what we're saying. If at any time we need to warn them about something, they need to respond by obeying. I always told my kids and my grandkids, and I even spoke this at Sunday school several times when I preached in Sunday school, taught in Sunday school, that God has given us two ears and one mouth. That is because He wants us to hear twice as much as He wants us to speak. James 1:19 says this, "Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." An example I want to give you today is my dad always took me out to hunt with him. I was kind of a tomboy. My mother didn't like that. But anyway, I always wanted to go out with my dad hunting. I was about 8 when he started training me. And he was very big, really big on listening and obeying. And he would go over and over and over with me the rules of hunting, as he called it, the rules of hunting. Maybe that's where I got the saying, when I go to my kids and grandkids and I'll say, Did you hear me? Did you understand what I said? They're laughing because I've said it so many times. Did you understand what I said? I always wanted to know and if they heard me and understood what I said and told them. I know I'm not the only mother that said that. But Dad and me and some of his friends, we'd go out in New Mexico somewhere, I don't know where it was, on a ranch, and we would go Bob White and blue quail hunting. And my dad had this saying. He said, there's nothing better than fried quail for breakfast. Yeah. And they would set up a chuck wagon, if you can just picture this. We'd go out, and we'd be out there, and they'd have a cook. Now, this is old-time cowboy stuff, you know. And a chuck wagon, and they would prepare the quail that we caught that day and shot and fix gravy and biscuits and fried quail. And it was, they'd fix it like fried chicken, and it was very, very good. If you've never had it, try it. But be sure and get the buckshot out first. You don't want to bite down on one of those, okay? And I've done that. But so Dad would warn me of the dangers out hunting, you know, snakes, animals. And since we were on horseback, or we'd be walking, you know, in rough terrain, he would train me, and he would tell me, you stop when I say stop. He would say stop, and I would have to just freeze in my tracks. Now, he had me so trained to listen to what he was saying that I was obedient. I had to obey him. I was out there in territory that I didn't know about. And one time there was a snake in front of us, and he shot it. And he wanted me to be quiet so I wouldn't spook the horses. And I had to listen to what he said. And when to raise my gun and when to shoot at the quail. He wanted me to obey immediately, because quail, if you've ever been quail hunting, they're hiding in bushes, and you really don't know which bush they're in, you know, and then all of a sudden they just whoosh, fly up right in front of you, and it kind of scares you, but you have to be ready to shoot. Anyway, and you have to just be ready. And so Dad was training me in this area to obey, hear his voice, and obey him. Always listening, always hearing, and understanding. You know, this is not an easy thing for a child to do. But as women, there are, there's always, you know, as a child, there's always distractions. And but as women, we have distractions too. We're always noticing everything that needs to be done around the house, always doing this and doing that, or getting several jobs at the same time. And it's just sometimes gets overwhelming. So we have a lot of distractions. But God made us women. Now I want you to hear this, men. We're awesome. We're amazing. Come on, ladies, say that. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. And we're multitaskers, right? We use both sides of our brain. Uh-oh. Only a woman can cook supper, wash dishes, and wash a load of clothes. And that's only the first of 8 more loads to go. Taking care of the baby and helping her son with the math all at the same time. Amen? Amen? Never underestimate the power of a woman. She can get her message for today, Dorman, listening to a show and answering questions. Amen? Dorman said the other day, he said, how can you do that? You're getting your message and you're answering me. And I was listening to a show too. But when it comes to hearing the voice of God, we have to slow down. We have to listen. We have to slow down, like I did out hunting with my dad. I had to listen to what he said. and tune our spiritual senses in to what God is saying. That's what God is saying today. Revelations 2:7, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. What started me thinking about hearing was about a month ago, I was getting ready one Sunday morning, and I heard the Lord say, "Hear and do what I say, hear me." He said, "Hear and do what I say, hear me." And so that day, of course, it happened. God said something to me, and I jumped up from back in the, I was sitting back there where Angie is, and I came up here and I interrupted Dorman's sermon. But I felt like I thought he was through. But anyway, he said he wasn't, but I thought he was. But I came up here because I felt like God told me to do something and say something. And so I guess you've noticed me praying for people, doing things. I think we all need to hear this word today. Hear and do what God says and do it. You know, hear God and do what he says. And so in the car coming to church that day, I told Maddie and Kellen how important it is for hearing, how important God has put us, gave us two ears, and how important it is to hear. And so I started telling them in the car the story of Eli and Samuel. And Hannah was married to Elkanah, and she couldn't have children. And they went up yearly to worship in Shiloh. So let's start reading in 1 Samuel 1, 8 through 28. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Now here, he already knew she was grieving because she didn't have a baby. She couldn't have a child. And so he was saying, "Am I not better than 10 sons?" So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now this reminds me of Psalms 4:1. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. You have relieved me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Have y'all ever been in deep despair calling on God and asking God for something? This is the way Hannah was. Now let's keep reading. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant," she saw it as a big affliction in her life, "but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." She prayed, see here, and asked God, and she said exactly what she wanted. She wanted a male child. She told God she would give him to God all his life. As a mom, that's quite a thing to do, to give away your child to God. But she was dedicated to God. And it happened, let's keep reading, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, and only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. So God had spoken a prophetic word through Eli to Hannah, and she heard that God was going to grant her wish or her petition. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Who else in the Bible found favor in God's sight? Mary, Jesus' mother. When the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, he said, you have found favor with God. And Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be according to your word. So both women found favor in God's sight. Let's keep reading. Then she rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to her house, their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So the name Samuel means to ask of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vows. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Now, in those days, a long time ago, they didn't wean their children until they were about 4 or 5 years old. I know some of the mothers are going, ah! But it's not such an old practice. Even my grandmother didn't wean her children until they were 4 or 5. So that was a necessity. It was out of a necessity to feed the baby milk. So here Hannah was not going to take her son till he was weaned. Now, when she had weaned him, am I on that one? Yeah. Okay. She took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephod of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. He was only about 5. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. She was talking to Eli. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives, and he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. And then Hannah prayed out loud before Eli and her husband a prophetic prayer. I'm only going to read 2 of the first verses of 1 Samuel 2:10 because it's quite lengthy, and I want you to read her prayer. It's a prophetic prayer, but I'm not going to read all of it. And Hannah prayed and said, my voice rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies. She can smile at her enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. We used to sing that song, there is no rock like our God. I like that one. So let's go down to 1 Samuel 2, 18 through 21. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. And a linen ephod is like a robe. I'm sure it had a sash of some sort. And he had a little robe on just like Eli. Moreover, his mother used to make him that robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So she only got to see Samuel probably once a year when they came up for the sacrifice. That would be hard. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was lent to the Lord." Then they would go to their house. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now let's go down to verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. This scripture reminds me of Luke 2:52, and it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus increased in stature and favor with God and men. So let's look at 1 Samuel 3:1-20. Keep reading about Samuel. Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now, I've always kind of wondered about this one thing. There's no widespread revelation. I don't know if it was because the evil in the land or people weren't serving the Lord, but the God wasn't speaking revelation and prophetically to the people at that time. And so it just kind of has always been a mystery for me. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place that when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he couldn't see. Now, I want you to just picture this. I want everybody to just picture this. There's the tabernacle. Now, Eli has a room, which is his bedroom, I guess, in the tabernacle, or outside or right by the tabernacle. We don't know for sure. And then Samuel had a room in the tabernacle or by the tabernacle right there. So Eli was going to bed, okay? And he was getting sleepy. His eyes was growing dim. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep. So in the tabernacle was the lampstand, and they put fresh oil in it every day and lit it. So when it went out, I guess, it was going out, and the Ark of the Covenant was in the tabernacle there by the lampstand. So here, the lampstand, the Ark of the Covenant, and they were going to sleep. They were ready to go to bed. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered. And Samuel said, "Here I am. Here I am." He's a little kid. He might be 9, 10, 11, 12 at this age, you know. And he ran to Eli and said, he always helped Eli because Eli was an old man. So he thought Eli was calling him. And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Now I want y'all to just picture this whole scene. And Eli said, "I did not call you. Go lay down again." And Samuel went and laid down again. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." And he answered, "I did not call you my son." He's calling him my son now. So he loved Samuel like a son. He says, "I did not call you my son. Go lay down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He served in the temple, but he didn't know the Lord. You know, you can come to church and you can read your Bible, but you might not know the Lord. So here Samuel did not know the Lord. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then he arose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And you know, he's getting really frustrated with Eli. "You did call me." He probably thought Eli was talking in his sleep. Then Eli perceived, or he knew, that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lay down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must speak. Say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Hears. I want y'all to hear that. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Here God is going to show something very important that is going to shake Israel to where their ears are going to tingle. Let's keep reading. "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile. He did not restrain them." Now, I want everybody here, when you leave today, if you don't know the story of 1 Samuel, I want you to read it. I want you to read the whole thing, because it's so very good. It tells of the sexual sins of Eli's sons and how God judged them. And it's very important to read this. And God also judged Eli because he didn't correct his sons. "And therefore," let's keep reading, "and therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for a sacrifice or offering forever." That's pretty severe. So God's saying here that Eli and his family would not have an atonement for their sins, and that no animal sacrifice, I mean, nothing would be sufficient for them. That's bad. That's sad. So Samuel, let's keep reading. "So Samuel laid down until morning, opened the doors." He didn't go to sleep. He just laid there in bed, probably worrying all night. "And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision." He was afraid. Can you imagine the Lord coming into your room, standing there, telling you this major thing about the man that raised you, Eli, and that no sacrifice would be sufficient for him? And Samuel was scared. He was afraid. Let's keep reading. "Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" He didn't want to go over there and talk to Eli. And he said, Eli said, "What is the thing that the Lord has told you? Please do not hide it from me." And then he says, God, do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things he has said to you. So here Eli was old and he was very harsh, you know. He's plain spoken. He was harsh and was probably mad that God was giving this young kid a word and not giving him, he's the priest, not giving him that word. You know, he's probably jealous. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. See, Eli already knew, because God had sent another man of God and told him everything, exactly what was going to happen to him and his sons. God warned Eli. He knew way ahead of time. You'll have to read this story in 1 Samuel 2. And it'll tell you all about the prophecy that this man of God gave to Eli. One of the things, I'm just going to put out a teaser, God said that every descendant of Eli would die young. Think about that. They're still descendants, probably today. Somehow, God's word never falls short of performing what it is, he says. Every descendant would die young of Eli's. So let's keep reading. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel was a great man, a great priest. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. As you read on, I want everybody to read on in Samuel, and you'll find out why all of Israel's ears were tingling. This is the most interesting story, and it's really kind of comical in places. But Israel was defeated by the Philistines. They killed 4,000 of their men. They captured the Ark of the Covenant. Eli's sons were killed. Eli fell off his seat, broke his neck because he was so fat. You'll have to read about the Philistines taking the Ark and put it in the house of Dagon, their false god. And what happened? I'm not going to tell you what happened because I want y'all to read it. What happened was just crazy. It was crazy. And so I'm just bringing that out. So you'll have to read it to find out. And then read about the tumors that God put on the people, the Philistines. The tumors. And then, of all things, they made 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats. Now, I don't understand. I guess they thought the rats would eat up the tumors. I'm just guessing. But anyway, they made 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats to try to appease the God, so that appease God, so that God would take away their tumors. And the crazy, crazy way they tried to get rid of the Ark. That is the comical part. But you'll have to read about it. I'm not going to tell you. Do you know that there is so many wonderful Bible stories right here? There are so many. Do you know you don't have to go by action-packed mystery books or action-packed books or any kind of other books? This is one book all rolled up into one. This has action. This has mystery. This has romance. This has everything that we need. This is a This Bible, this book, is right here before you, has everything and much more. All you have to do is open it up and read it. I'm talking to every one of us here, not just the mothers, but we need to listen. We need to hear what God's saying. In Psalms, it tells us, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will hear. God can speak through the word, and he does, but he also can speak to us physically in our mind, or in our speak audibly in our hearing. This is what my prayer is for us today. That we will hear and do what God tells us to do. Like he spoke to me the other day, hear and do what I say. Hear me. God, I thank you for opening up our spiritual hearing today. Lord, I thank you for blessing all of the mothers and everyone here today, God. Bless us, Lord. Lord, I pray that we go from here today and be aware of your voice at any time. Any time, even when we're sleeping, just like Samuel. Any time you can speak to us, Lord, open up our spiritual senses to hear you and do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace. Peace be on you. You want to say your prayer over everybody? Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.